Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's Tep Talks time again, listeners. This week, I get together with my good friend Roshi, and Colette does make a pop-up appearance, but just for a second, and we debate feminism. For me, it goes without saying that feminism is necessary, and in the words of Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, we should all be feminists. In the words of ever so profound Roisin, if you're not a feminist, I'm a bit worried about you. Happy listening, guys!
Hi, listeners. Welcome to this week's episode of Teb Talks. I'm joined by my good friend Roisin. Hi, Roisin.
Hi, Teb. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to have you back again.
Thank you for having me.
So today we're going to be talking about what it means to be a feminist.
Okay.
I feel like this is something that you're going to have some very strong views on.
Maybe, yeah, strong but potentially incorrect. But let's go.
Strong.
Let's do it.
Positive views.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's the kind of thing that we need to talk more about. So as I like to kick off most podcasts, I like to get into the definition first so that everybody knows okay. What the hell we're talking about.
Okay. There are lots flying around.
There are. So I'm going to go old school because that's okay. The kind of gal I am. So according to the Oxford Dictionary, it's the advocacy of women's rights on the ground of the equality... Can I talk? Okay. The equality of the sexes.
Yes.
So that, I feel, doesn't really do it enough justice today, and there are so many other definitions. Mm. What kind of definitions have you come across?
I think, well, for me, I'm coming from a person from the UK who is white. I'm a white woman. So my version of I am. Shocking as it may come to you, I'm white. So to me, it's probably very different to you or to a woman living in Syria.
That's a really good point, because whenever I talk about feminism for myself, and it's probably something that I never really gave much of a thought to, I would always describe myself as a black woman. I never just describe myself as a woman.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's almost like this is what people first see.
Yeah.
And
I almost feel like when you have a challenge such as feminism or race or any type of discrimination that is sort of self-perpetuated by the culture in which it exists, it's the, whatever that person's labelled or identity is, which is how you would sort of align yourself with it. So that's why I think it's a really good point that you say there's lots of different definitions flying
there
around, because it really just depends. Mm.
But for me, I just think it's as simple as equal rights. If you're a feminist, then you want equal rights. And that's honestly as simple as it is. And if you're not a feminist, I'm a bit worried about you. I mean, sorry, you don't want women to have the vote or to be able to ride on the bus or drive. Like, why would you not be a feminist? A man or a woman, or any type of gender, however people want to be defined, why would you not be a feminist? It's bizarre.
I completely understand what you're saying, and I agree with you. But I can also understand why there are still a lot of people in our society today that are not feminists. Yeah, because if you think about how we've all been raised up until this point, it's only become very recent that feminism is sexy. And
yeah, I've seen a book called The Hot Feminist, but no, of course you are very hot. But I mean, the hot feminist, that's disgraceful. Like, that's the opposite of what feminism is. The hot feminist. Unreal. What the fuck is that? Turn it around on the shelf. Awful book. But Sorry, what were we talking about?
No, that's right.
Taken away by the whole
feminism. Why I understand that...
No, see, I don't get it.
I don't agree with it. But if you think about our society today, and if you think about sort of 50 years ago, even 100 years ago, men were not allowed to be feminists. So of course women were not allowed to be feminists. And I feel like...
I mean, I think the problem is that women were severely oppressed 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And weren't allowed to...
Be anything.
Be anything. Yeah. They would. They went, you know, a lot of them didn't work. It wasn't even seen as a normal thing for a woman to work or to drive. So, yes, okay, the term is getting sexier, if you want to say that.
Which is such a crass way of... talking about feminism.
And we are talking about it more, and lots of people who are in the public eye are feminists, and that's great, and they're talking about it. But I don't think that, you know, I think that it's happening because the conversation is being sort of, is travelling around now.
Absolutely. And I have this theory that in order to drive the conversation, you have to be affected. Mm. Therefore, a man was never going to get up one day and say... fuck me, let's start a feminist movement. It was never going to happen.
No.
And that is why I can understand, because only now are women given such a broad platform to talk about these issues, to start the conversation.
Yeah, women have fought really hard.
So men are now coming aboard. And I know there's the, what's her name? Harry Potter girl.
Oh, Emma Watson. Yeah, she's
got
great.
Her He For She. Exactly.
Yeah.
What she did with her He For She campaign is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Because what she's done is she's taken it to the next level. And she's taken it to the level that we need it to get to in order to have absolute inclusivity for all women, which is that it has to be inclusivity for men, which brings about inclusivity for women. I know that's going to make some women's blood boil, but I don't think that the idea of gender and feminism are mutually exclusive.
I want men to have as many rights as women. I don't want anyone to have more or less rights, you know, than each other or any of the genders. I think we should all have the same rights. And I think that's what feminism is.
Yeah. So there was a quote actually that I found from Emma Watson, which was, if men don't have to be aggressive in order to be accepted, women won't feel compelled to be submissive. If men don't have control, women won't have to be controlled. And I think that's where I'm coming from when I say that it's as much an issue for men as it is for women.
Absolutely.
In order for us to be able to fall into that role, which we naturally are, I think it's really important that men understand their parts
of play. What's the role that we naturally are? Because that's something...
Did you object to that statement?
Yeah, I think I do. Well, what do you mean by the role that we naturally are?
I feel like... For me personally, my experience is that I've always tried to play the part as a woman, like a female role. And now I'm older and I'm an adult, I've realised that actually that was... I'm never going to be that person. I'm never going to be like, you know, domestic goddess, you know.
But don't you think, like, who's born thinking, oh, I'm going to be great in the kitchen? Or I'm going to be great at ironing?
But that's what I mean.
No one is, but our media... puts out this image of us.
And it's not just media, it's inherent in our upbringing. What's that thing in sociology, like nature versus nurture? We are nurtured to be that way. My mother would have subconsciously raised me that way.
Yeah, of course. Your mother. You go into Tesco and you're subconsciously raised that way because you've got a girl section and a boys section, and it's absolute nonsense.
Why the hell do we have pink razors? I mean, I've always used my dad's razors. Sorry, Dad.
Your
Tesco's
in the blue
eye. So Colette's just popped up.
Sorry.
Hi, Colette.
It's like gender assigned Tesco's. Sorry.
Listen, I've got Lego in my Tesco, babes. Okay. Although, no, Lego, they're doing okay. But I mean.
I do know what you mean. Like, we did a survey thing. I don't know why the exercise they use is in a marketing study, in like a team builder thing, was about Bic Biros.
Yes,
and about
have you
done that?
The women's
with the pink, yeah.
Oh, God.
And I was never that woman that wanted the pink biro, but I used to pretend I did. And as an adult now, I categorically refuse to wear baby pink. I wear blush and I wear hot pink, but I just feel it fits into such a stereotype that I am just not. I will wear red. I will wear black, but I'm not that girl that I'm expected to be.
Okay, but the problem with that, I think, is, if you don't mind me talking about this.
You can talk so all you want, love.
The baby pink... the baby pink thing is an issue because if you like pink and you're a girl, it's okay. There shouldn't be a problem with that. But we're told that the colour pink is soft and it's weak and it's for girls. And the fact that that is negative is a problem. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I completely agree. But I do think the reason why I think this is a really exciting time to be alive for women, for feminist women, and for feminist men, is that we're changing that narrative. I mean, pink now. Yeah. I remember when I was sort of teenage years into young adulthood. I mean, I'll call the early 20s. I wouldn't really say I was an adult. And I used to love that my boyfriend would always wear a pink shirt. Like, he had blonde hair, blue eyes. He looked great in baby pink. Mm. He would always go into a shop and pick out a baby pink shirt. And he didn't see that as feminine or girly. And I think that we are sort of on that tipping point where we're changing that, but it takes the men to do that with us. We can't change that as women on our own. We need the men to feel okay with that too.
But even by saying, oh, he didn't see it as feminine or girly, is putting feminine and girly in a negative bracket. And it shouldn't be. Girly and feminine should be strong and it should be brilliant. And we should embrace it and we should love it. We shouldn't be like, girly's weak, stop being a girl.
Yeah.
That nonsense is what's killing our society.
That is very true. And that's very much what... I'm going to say her name so wrong. Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie.
Mm-hmm.
So she was probably the first woman I've ever seen, other than my mother. And I realised to be a feminist, or to be a woman, or to be girly, or to be womanly, is positive. Because she was probably the first feminist, other than my mother, that I identified with as as an African black woman.
Which is
strong
great.
Woman. And when she talks about herself in We Should All Be Feminists, she talks about experiences that I literally had, like being at school, and obviously the boy gets picked over you when I won. I came first, but it's not thought of that the girl should maybe do that role, or just all of that feeling really confused at a really young age why I wasn't getting picked, but the boys were.
Yeah, school is a really interesting one.
Really interesting. And there's this, oh my God, have you ever heard of, what's it called? UK Feminista.
No, I have not.
Oh, you'd love this. It's an initiative which basically helps schools get into campaign about feminism.
Oh, brilliant. Okay.
So it's like a three-step program, which I'm going to talk very loosely about because I don't have the facts in front of me. I remember reading that it's like an in-school education program, and then there's like a campaign program, and then it gives you like actions as to what to do. So it's all about taking physical positive actions. There's literally on their website, there's like campaign posters, they run a protest or run a campaign. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, is the real crucial thing. It's about getting, I hate saying it like this, it's like getting to them young and early.
Oh, absolutely. It's teaching young boys as well to be feminists. It's teaching young girls and young boys.
So that's exactly what I mean by that, as in, men have just as much a part to play.
Absolutely. And men also have a really tough time. I know lots of people talk about women and, you know, how they come across in the media and what they think they should achieve and what they... But men also have this other side of it where they have to be, you know, strong and silent.
Yes,
and they have to like trucks and play football. And that's really demanding on a boy who might not want to play football.
So it's impossible to talk about femininity or being a feminist without talking about gender. Would you agree?
Gender or sex?
Gender.
Okay, yeah.
Why sex? I wouldn't have thought.
Well, your sex is what you're born with. If you're born with a penis, you're a male, but your gender is, you can identify as...
That's why I think gender.
Okay.
Because I think gender is exactly that, is how you identify, and then obviously how your experiences of identifying with that gender or that part of your life are.
Okay, yeah.
And I think that's where historically the whole notion of being a feminist has got really murky, because until recently there wasn't really the recognition or the the recognition that you can identify as a gender. It was always just thought, a man is a man, a woman is a woman, a woman needs to be a woman, and a man needs to be a man, end of. Whereas I think gender is so much more than that. So actually I did I went to like a, what do you call them? It was like a 50-hour immersion conference thing. where you like get over your fears, blah blah blah. I'm just gonna talk about him every podcast. Tony Robbins.
The Robster.
And what was really interesting about that is on all of the traits, on all of the exercises, I always came out with a masculine energy.
Oh, okay.
And I've always thought that about myself.
So can we talk about a masculine energy?
With ejaculating, or were you erect during this time?
See, I think it's bizarre. Why have men got to smell a certain way or like masculine? How do you define masculine?
See, I don't think masculine is about men, and that's what how I've always perceived it.
Sorry, no, I still need to understand what's a masculine energy.
So you have a feminine energy and you have a masculine energy.
No,
is this
what?
Mr. Robbins?
Yeah.
Okay, talk to me.
Oh God.
So it's almost about having whether you naturally go to a sort of an alert state, an aggressive state.
Oh fuck me, Robin.
Okay, I call bullshit. I call bullshit. Yeah. No, sorry, Teb. Sorry, carry on.
Anyway, I feel like you can have, and maybe that's kind of his way of talking about
how
you identify.
I think there are different energies. I'm just not sure about labeling them as masculine and feminine. Again, like you're dividing women and men. It's so boring. Why do we have to?
But do you not think that there is a divide?
Of course there is.
I think to ignore that there is not a difference between men and women and how they interact with everything and everyone is also just as dangerous.
I disagree. I think that we have been taught, and it's no one's fault, we have been taught all our lives and all through the genders that men and women are different. And to fight that notion is really hard for us to do that, but it's absolutely true. Like you've just said, you came out with a masculine energy, so at some point in every day we'll have masculine or female energy. And the fact that I don't have dingle dangle between my legs doesn't mean that I'm like penis. And nuts. And that doesn't mean that I can't be strong or be sweaty or
which
like
I am right now.
Right? That's a funny thing. But like every time I think you have to.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Question the things that you come out with. We're not asking their permission for equality.
No, like, absolutely. And I would agree with that. We have made significant strides in most recent years because we're doing it together.
Mm.
And men have to understand that if I take my first career, for example, if my original firm I went to work for at the age of 22, 23 years old did not want female equality, it would still be a firm, the largest firm in the world, law firm that is, which is made up a senior partnership team, 99% white male.
Mm.
So, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have to get on board order to make that change. Because I'm never going to break that glass ceiling because it's a fucking grey, white old man ceiling.
In any scenario, for all humans to achieve equal rights, and, you know, for feminism, we have a long way to go. But we need men to be on board. We need men to say, yes, I want my daughter to have the same opportunities as my son growing up.
But I think I take that for granted personally, because growing up, my dad was a feminist. I lived in a household with, three other women at the time, two girls and one woman, my mother. And I didn't know any other type of male than my dad, so I thought all men were like that. So I remember when I went to start work, when I got the job at that law firm, and I wanted to quit as soon as I started. I felt so intimidated because not only was I the only woman in my team, I was the only black woman.
Mm.
And I remember coming home one day from work, I think I was 22 years old, and he wasn't a partner, I think he must have just been a lawyer, he said to me, "Oh, well, you're lucky to be here, aren't you?" And I was thinking, well, yeah, I am. Like, you know, it's really hard to get in here. So we finished this meeting, we were wrapping up, and they were asking me questions about what university I graduated from and where I did my LPC. And then he said, well, it's even luckier for you, because not only are you a woman, you're a black woman. And I was like, sorry, what? Sorry.
You are lucky.
He may have been, that may have sounded really rude, but I also think he's stating facts.
I don't think he meant it in a sisterhood, kind of way.
Fair enough.
I don't think that's where he was coming from, Ro.
Okay.
Bastard.
But at the same time, that negative experience I had or encounter with feminism, racism, whatever you want to call it, only made me determined to figure out what this was and what other women go through and to make a change. Because my life wasn't affected by feminist issues because my dad stayed at home when I was born.
But you know, I think your life was affected by feminist issues.
In what way?
Well, not your life. I just think all of our lives.
No. Yeah, all of ours. But mine personally. And I think from a really selfish point of view, I didn't have an agenda. I didn't have an interest or desire in wanting to be a feminist. Although many people called me a feminist as if it was some kind of abusive terminology growing
up. That's another issue, isn't it? People being abused for being a feminist.
But I didn't understand what it meant. I just kind of thought of it as the same word as like bitch or slut. You know, I didn't really understand how they were insulting me, so it didn't really work. Shame on you. But now I'm older, I realise that they were trying to like cuss me out.
Yeah, sad times. People still do. It's awful.
But I think it's getting better, and I think us even just having this conversation,
it's absolutely getting better. And you know, we live in a society, we're very lucky, where women can vote and women can drive. However, women are still being raped more than men are. Women are still being stalked more than men are. Women have more abuse on the internet than men do. Women don't earn the same as men. Women are not in the majority of the CEO positions. Men are. And even if you watch the BBC Breakfast, which grinds my gears every morning.
Put Nagger on the left.
So Louise Minchin, or the Minch, as we know her.
Simple Minch.
She's been a newsreader for years. And so if you see two people on TV on a panel or anything like that, the person on the left is supposed to have some kind of superiority or be more senior. Yeah. I tell you.
Think about Ant and Ordek. Ant's the tall one with the big forehead, always on the left.
He's had some troubling times. She won't know that, she doesn't read Heat, but yeah. Oh. Tricky times. Anyway, so the person on the left, as you see it, is almost always supposed to be the senior person. Now, never, I swear to God, you flick through your channels in the morning and you will never see a woman on the left. And the Minch.
Oh, you should not give me that challenge, Roisin, because I will rise to
it. Do it. Okay, I think there's some BS about Sky doing it. But the Minch has been a newsreader for years and years, loads of experience. This guy comes up, he's been in the job about 3 years, he's on the left. Okay, it's not right. You flick through to Channel 3, which isn't really a fucking news thing because Piers Morgan's on it. He's always on the left.
I do.
Whenever you see a man and a woman, okay, Phew. What?
Pause, no, let that go.
That's a different episode.
It's not.
Okay.
We do need to talk about Piers.
I think that you cannot talk about
Piers Morgan. Sorry, you can't talk about feminism without talking about Piers Morgan because I feel like he is
the anti-feminist
knife in everybody's side.
He's the knife in everyone's side to any minority group, I think. He's just easy target.
But I honestly believe that he does that for his own self-publicity. I think he brings about good conversation. I really don't.
No, he's a bloody... He's a Trump supporter. He's a joke.
That is causing like people to act the way they
are. Yeah,
no,
I agree with that. It's provoking those people. It's not making people. No, people have their own choice, and that's the thing.
But the media has a big responsibility, and whoever is giving Piers Morgan hundreds of thousands of pounds, if not more, a year, is an idiot.
He does entertain me every single day. And actually, when I was researching what to talk about today, because I was like, I really need to narrow this down if I'm going to be talking to Roisin about feminism. And one thing that just popped up everywhere was Amber Rose's bush.
Tapped out, I don't know anything about it.
So she had a Twitter argument with Piers Morgan because she posted a picture of herself naked. And
I'm going to show you the photo just so you can get the reaction that's required.
Bushcam.
I actually think it was pretty provocative. And I'm going to say something controversial, but I agree with Piers to some extent.
Let's give us the information.
It's not
first.
Feminism isn't about Piers Morgan having a fucking opinion on a picture.
I don't agree with Piers Morgan about his interpretation of feminism. I agree with Piers Morgan on his points that you taking a picture of yourself naked as a woman that's known for being a ghetto girl in music videos is not feminism.
It is if you own it. I disagree. I think if you own it and
if a ghetto boy had his pubes out in a picture,
that would be inappropriate.
We'd be thinking how cute that was.
No, we wouldn't.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be like, oh, he's demasculated or whatever. You know,
that's the picture, but obviously it's been covered up because it's on the internet. And
it's hard to know with that cover up what we're really looking at.
So there's nothing else there except for her very dark bush.
Babe, here we go. I've found the actual picture.
I don't have pornographic images on my phone.
You do now. What's the anti-feminist position?
So she posted that photo of herself on Instagram.
Right.
And Piers, being the nobbler that he is, decided to go on an I hate Amber tirade.
Because he felt that was anti-feminist?
Yeah.
Why? And she is a feminist.
Okay. I can see that from a bush. Jokes, cheap joke. I don't see why this gets... I mean, she looks great. And I can see she's got some strong political opinions in this picture. What... And some bosoms. What is wrong, and a lot of oil, what is wrong with that as a feminist? I don't, like, this really blurring the lines. You can get your bush out and be a feminist. Moments before I was upstairs with my bush out, still a feminist.
So that's not why I objected. Like, actually, today I went for my first bikini wax in 6 months.
Between bikini wax.
And she was like, where have you been? She's Turkish. Oh, that was a very good accent, was it?
Really good.
Because I've not been to her for so long. And out of protest, I was just like, I'm just not going to get waxed until I'm ready to date again.
Badge of honour.
Okay.
And I do it. And that's something I'm proud of. And she was absolutely horrified at this concept. And I was like, it's my body. No one else is seeing it, so why do you care?
Oh, she was horrified that you let your badge of honour grow. Yeah. And we're calling it a badge of honour because our friend didn't sleep with anyone for a long time and grew her bush out and called it a badge of honour.
That was what mine was.
Yeah. I think mainly, your waxer is considering her income stream, though.
She could have done that in another way, and I just thought to myself, why is that your natural reaction?
Aren't we a bit worried about why we feel like we should have to even trim our bush?
True say.
You know? Come on, who's telling us to do that?
I mean, it's
not
really...
women, is it? It's fucking men.
True.
Like Piers Bloody Morgan.
This is true. So, in retaliation, Amber Rose she's gone into this whole Instagram war with him, Twitter war, which is fantastic. Keeps me greatly entertained. And she's basically said, I want to be on your show. And he's like, come on my show. And she's apparently going on Good Morning Britain.
Oh, I can't wait.
And she started hashtag Amber Rose slutwalk, hashtag bring back the bush. And they do not mean J.W. Bush. They mean her bush. And I just think it's a really interesting debate because I think there's two roads to go down. There's actually three.
Okay.
There's the, you can do whatever you want with your body, get it out as much as you want. And
that's
as a woman,
nice
you're
road.
In control of it.
That's
I think
the
that's
road.
Fine.
Let's call that road A.
And then there's the other one where obviously Piers is coming from, which is getting naked all the time does not necessarily mean you're being a feminist. And I
irrelevant.
Think there are a lot of women.
Irrelevant.
Do you
not
see the dots? I don't get it. As a male stripper, not into male rights if he gets his dick out. Like, I don't understand how nudity affects our desire for equal rights to vote, to
I don't
have
think
education.
It,
to
I
have
don't
healthcare,
think it does, but I think that those women, in inverted commas, use that as a scapegoat for them taking sexually provocative photos of themselves. And that is why I challenge it, because I will happily take a nude photo of myself and post it on social in the interest of feminism, because I feel like I should be able to do whatever I want with my body. Mm. But I'm not going to cash that in some kind of way to make money, and then in order to sort of cover that up, to make it more acceptable, label it as feminism. And I think that women like Amber Rose and Kim Kardashian, who, of course, they are feminists in their own right, but they're also very anti-feminist in a lot of ways. They use that as a label to protect themselves from the backlash because it's now way more acceptable, way more open. I mean, when I grew up...
And I would have that discussion with you for days on end. I certainly wouldn't let Piers fucking Morgan have a like an iota to say about it, because I think his opinion is irrelevant. He is the anti-feminist. He is anti-women. He is anti-minority. And he's a fucking prick. And I shouldn't use the word prick, but he's a melt. But yeah, I think if you think about role models, then that's another conversation to go down. But I think as far as getting your bush out, getting your tits out, I do not think it makes you anti-feminist in any way, shape or form.
No, it doesn't. Absolutely.
Then it is. Yeah, then I'm happy for that.
I think what I find really interesting in this debate is how we can blur the lines between celebrity using their voice and their position as a place of authority to promote or challenge feminism, and actually what it really means for us today, which is why, as much as I would have loved to have had my mate Beyonce, who couldn't make the show, she's busy.
Beyonce.
There is definitely a blurred line when it comes to the power and the platform that celebrity have to promote feminism and how they use that. And I think that the layman, and that's us, need to do more to change that. We need to stop giving them the power, because actually they misuse it in a lot of ways and the conversation gets flipped. I remember when I heard Flawless, it was the first time I heard Chimamanda Ngozi, and to hear her voice say those words spoke to me so much more than if Beyonce had just said the lines of that we should all be feminists. And I think that's what's really important. The whole thing for me about why it's really important to be a feminist and why we should do more to promote it is that it's really human and it connects every single person on this planet, because every single person came from a woman. And as you said at the beginning, the modern definition of feminism as we know it today is the political movement that's based on it, and that women should have the same economical, social, political rights as men. That's as blunt as it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is it.
Agreed. And we should be teaching it to young children.
Exactly. So if you want to get involved, everybody, go on to UK Feminista and have a look what that's about, because that's a really, really important platform when it comes to educating the youth of today. And I think really importantly, the teachers. And that is why I think we need things like that. Because it's not just about the kids, it's about the information that has been passed down through the teachers, and really important, being allowed to be passed down through the curriculum and through the schools.
Can I tell you one of my saddest feminist teacher stories? It will be 1 minute long. Less than that. I was doing a carpet time, which is when I have like 30 children in front of me, stop laughing. And I asked the children what their favourite superheroes were. And there was this young girl who we'll know as S, for sassy, because she was incredible. We were talking, well, our topic was superheroes, and I said to S, who's your superhero? And she said to me, I don't have a superhero because I'm a girl and girls don't like superheroes. And it broke my heart. But that's what we're dealing with young children. Like, their ideologies of what is a man and what is a woman and what we should be is really, really boxed, and we need to unbox it.
So on that note, thank you very much for joining me, Roisin, and thank you very much to this side chick over here, Colette, who popped in for a little cameo. So if you'd like to find out any more information about the things that we've mentioned in today's podcast, check out my Twitter, which is TebMoemma, or have a look at my Insta, which is at Teb1, or you can email me at tebstalkuk@gmail.com.
And if anyone wants to follow Roisin Ma, I've got 7 followers, so I could do with a few more.
UK Feminista. It's so much more than being a mister. Let's get together and celebrate, sister.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.